Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are things today?
Things are great. It's nice and warm here. Beautiful day. We're brought to you by Harry's as usual. I'll tell you about them in a moment, I'm sure. But my biggest news is tomorrow I go down to Steeler minicamp. It'll be 3 days this week, 3 days next week. Probably going to be there 12 to 15 times over the next month or so, you know, 3 hour shows, watching camp, interviewing players. Always fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun. What, any players you're looking forward to seeing specifically?
The rookies obviously get the most attention, you know, Mason Rudolph, Washington, first round pick, and all those guys, of course, Morgan Burnett. But unlike most teams, there's not a whole lot of change in Steeler country usually year to year.
What's the word on Lev? Is he?
He won't be there.
He won't be there. Yeah,
he won't
I figured.
There, no.
That's just kind of commonplace at this point, right?
right.
No surprises there, really.
Not at all. But we should be getting some news across the league starting this week. You know, hopefully no one steps in a hole and blows out a knee or anything like that. But I'm not sure if you're the same way, but I've been doing this so long that most of the reports I get out of minicamp, I don't take a whole lot of stock in. You know, Josh Rosen's lighting it up, or, you know, like, easy, you know. But at least sometimes you can see the roles people were playing, where they're lining up, you know, who they're playing with.
All those reports are interesting, and it's just tough to really kind of weed through those and figure out what has some actual merit and what's just coach speak or, you know, reporters looking for something to put online or put in the paper or whatever.
So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because, I mean, now that I've been on the media side now for a while within this organization and around the Steelers, you know, some of the guys, you sit there and you watch minicamp as a reporter, there really isn't all that many stories that come out of one practice, and you have to write something. So I need our listeners to realize that their job is to put something out on the internet, something on paper, even if there really isn't something to be said.
Yeah, that's good to note. And like you said, really starting later this week, we'll start seeing some of those reports on Twitter, on Roto World, and on different team sites and things like that. So that's something to pay attention to, or maybe not pay attention to. It depends, right? We'll read through that again. Well, Matt, today we are going to answer some listener questions, and as always, we got some good ones, some really thought-provoking questions this time, challenging us a little bit. That's a good thing. First question comes from Jaron, one of my coworkers over at DLF. He says, who did you find yourselves drafting the most on your dynasty rosters, particularly in the late rounds? So thinking about those rookies, we've all been doing rookie drafts, rookie auctions in my case, and in the case of some of our listeners. Matt, was there any – I know last time we talked you had done maybe two drafts. Have you done a few more since?
I think I have four or five in the book with one or two more to go. So got a good feel for it, and I think this question is valid because – I'm getting the same people a lot of the time, and I'm moving around the draft board to do so. The first round guy I would mention is Sony Michel. You know, I have him as my third ranked rookie. So I've gotten him at three. I've gotten him at six or seven when he's fallen. So he's somebody that's sort of consistently ended up on my team, or I've done my best to acquire. Some mid-round guys I've noticed I'm landing a lot that I think I'm higher on the most are Lamar Jackson, Nyheim Hines, Antonio Callaway, Jordan Wilkins. Would say those are guys in the second rounds I'm picking up quite a bit. A little later than that, Jamon Moore ends up on my team more often than not. And that might be about it. I don't have a guy who super late I've been grabbing. And to be honest, I've been dumping my fourth round picks left and right.
Yeah, one player, I like a lot of those names. And it's interesting. Some of those players I considered myself a fan of pre-draft, certainly Lamar Jackson would be one of those. And I don't think I have any shares yet. I don't think I've drafted Jackson at all. It just hasn't fallen that way for me, unfortunately.
And he's going pretty high.
Yeah. He's been the quarterback one in some of my drafts, despite being the fifth quarterback drafted in the NFL draft. A couple of the players that I have ended up drafting multiple times. I think I've done most of my leagues have had the rookie draft or rookie auction already. So I'm close to 10, probably maybe even more than that. Antonio Callaway is a guy I've ended up drafting multiple times. And Jaron actually also had a follow-up question. Was it landing spot, college production, metrics, et cetera, that influenced those picks? I think in Callaway's case for me, it was simply just talent. And we've seen what can happen with those guys who are or who do have some off-field issues and how their stock can be affected. I've seen plenty of people, analysts and draft analysts and fantasy analysts say that if it weren't for these off-field issues, that Callaway might have been not only a first-round rookie pick, but maybe even a first-round NFL draft pick. So
maybe grabbing, first receiver off the board.
Right. Grabbing him in the late second-round range, which is where I've normally been drafting him, feels like a risk worth taking at that point. And as far as a late-round guy, Chase Edmonds, the Arizona running back, is one I've found myself drafting over and over. In that late third round or really anywhere in the fourth round.
Shock you how late he's going? Like, he's my 30th ranked rookie and I haven't landed him yet, but he's got ability. He's behind a great running back, but no one else really around him. And that great running back's coming back from injury. Like, Edmonds to me should be going higher than every time I see him go.
Yeah, I think so as well. And he's a guy who I haven't seen him talked about a ton or heard him talked about on other podcasts or anything, but he seems to be gaining some value in those drafts that took place immediately after the NFL draft. He was going late in the fourth round. I got him, I think, with my 4-11 pick in one draft. In a couple, I believe he even went undrafted. And now he's starting to sneak into that mid to late third round range. So maybe he's starting to get a little more attention from dynasty owners. I certainly wouldn't wish another injury upon David Johnson. We all want to see if he can reach his goal of 1,000 season. But like you said, he's one injury away from some real playing time. I'm not worried about really anybody else on that roster as far as the backfield depth chart. I think Edmonds could have a role from day one potentially.
There's two other names I want to bring up as really late guys. And usually I don't even use my fifth round pick. You know, I just skip it. I'm already full. But in two of my leagues, I'm traded up. I had an extra roster spot. I had my fifth round pick. And I took Josh Allen in both of them. And this is a perfect example to me of the difference between fantasy and reality. Because anyone listens to me, he was by far my number four quarterback number five quarterback of those first round guys as a football player. I think he's in an awful landing spot. His receivers are terrible. I don't trust the line. What if McCoy gets hurt? But he runs. You know, there's a lot of Cam Newton similarities to his game that I think he's a much better fantasy guy than he is real player. And I could see the Bills being, you know, 1-4 to start the season, and he plays, you know, 10, 12 games this year. So a starting quarterback with crazy tools that runs a lot as a fifth round guy in dynasty, I think is really worth it. And then the other one is Chris Herndon. I think we talked about him last show. Was a tight end from the Jets. He could be the starter from day one. And if he was not injured, I think he may have been a second round pick in the real world.
Yeah, Herndon is another guy, often not even getting drafted in some of the drafts I've seen. Yeah. Along those same lines, Troy Fumagalli, tight end for Denver. I could see him potentially earning a starter's job for the Broncos as well. So plenty of late-round options. Next question, I should say, another rookie-focused question, as many of these are. This one's from Big Shep, and he's talking about your guy, Lamar Jackson. In a one-quarterback league, how high is too high to take Lamar Jackson? And he notes that he has the 1.09 pick and then doesn't pick again until the fourth round. So we know a couple things.
Well, for you, Big Shep.
Right. We know those fourth-round picks are not going to cut it as far as Jackson is concerned. He's going somewhere, really anywhere in that second-round range, I think, is fair game, especially once you get to the 2-3, 2-4 spot. When you see Michael Gallup come off the board, when you see James Washington come off the board, that's kind of the signal that Lamar Jackson is not going to be too far behind. So, Matt, as a big fan of Jackson, how high would you say is too high to reach for Jackson? Would you consider taking him at 1-9?
No. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's taking him over a Ridley or a Freeman or a Sutton, a Miller. I can't do that despite my love for him. Two quarterback leagues, maybe take him higher than that, but that wasn't the question. Right. And it's funny, Ryan, that you mentioned Washington and Gallup, because I have Washington as my 14th ranked rookie, Jackson is my 15th ranked rookie, and Gallup is my 16th ranked rookie. So you had mentioned, you know, when Washington and Gallup start falling, it's about to be Jackson time. Well, I think maybe even a smidge earlier for me, if you are as in love with them as I am. So, you know, 2-3 is my earliest.
All right. So if you're sitting with the 1-9, then maybe you're in a position to trade down, get a couple of second round picks. But yeah, Matt, I agree with you. 1-9 is too early, and obviously those fourth rounders are going to be too late. So somewhere in that second round range, likely early in the second round, is where we would want to target Jackson.
I guess I have a philosophical dynasty question for you, which is kind of like talking NFL. Is, let's say our guy here, what was his name again?
Big Shep.
My man Big Shep takes Lamar Jackson at 1-9. What would Jackson's career path have to be to make that worthwhile? Would he have to be Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to use 1-9 on a quarterback, do you think he better be a perennially top five type guy, a Cam Newton career path?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, even now, and especially if you have a class like this year, a class like last year, where the rookies and the value does run so deep, it's hard to trade a quarterback for a first round pick, right? I mean, think about who can you get a first round pick for right now, quarterback wise? Aaron Rodgers, yes.
Wentz.
Carson Wentz, yes.
Wilson, Watson.
Wilson, yes. Watson, I saw two different trades in the last week of the 111 for Deshaun Watson. So that's kind of where he is. And if you're going to take Lamar Jackson with 1-9, you better be sure he's going to be in that range. And as much upside as he has, as much as I'm going to be cheering for him, I'm not willing to make that pick. You know, why not trade down a little? And if you can trade 111 for Deshaun Watson, you know, look at that type of move.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is, I mean, it's obvious, is if you're trying to trade, even if it's Russell Wilson or Rodgers or Watson, there's 8 teams in your league that doesn't even have the slightest bit of interest.
Yeah, I've actually got one league, Matt, it's one we're in together, where I've just got some crazy quarterback depth. I had Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton. I ended up over the past couple of years with Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes. And then it comes up to my pick late in the second round, and Baker Mayfield is on the board, and he's my top ranked player. And
I didn't pick him.
Yeah. I had to look elsewhere, and I had to go away from my rankings a little bit, because I knew there just wasn't much demand for quarterbacks in this league. And I already had four that in a one quarterback league, I really need to be able to move one of these guys for some value, maybe two of these guys for some value. And it hasn't happened yet. So I didn't want to dig that hole even deeper.
Yeah. I was a team. I've totally broke down and I'm rebuilding. I've been trying to dump Russell Wilson, and like the best offer I could get was a future second and Duke Johnson. I'm like,
yeah,
that doesn't do it for me.
Next question from Alex, 12-team PPR, a trade question. Should I trade Le'Veon Bell for Keenan Allen, Marvin Jones, and a 2019 first?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he mentions other. I
don't care about the rest.
We don't need any other details. He also has Kareem Hunt, Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey, Darius Geis, Tariq Cohen. Yes.
Move on, yeah. So without Jones.
I would do it without Jones. I think Bell for Allen even up is very fair.
Yes.
Team dependent deal. You know, in
Alex's side,
right. In Alex's case, he's got a little bit of a hole at wide receiver. He's got Demaryius, Golden Tate, Woods, Garcon. He needs some wide receiver help. So in his case, even more, if you're getting two starting wide receivers and a 2019 first, that's a no brainer. We've talked about Bell on here before. Matt thinks this is his last year in Pittsburgh. So we don't know obviously what the future holds. Team situation. He's had the injuries. He's had the off-field stuff, the risk, even though we're a year or two clear of those things, those concerns are never going to go away. And if he lands with who knows what team,
right,
probably not going to be as good as of a situation as the Steelers, then that value is just going to continue to drop. So yes, definitely 100% make that trade.
Keenan Allen's like 25 years old.
Yeah.
And Marvin Jones, a big time producer. That's an easy one.
All right. Next question. This one comes from Dan. What are your thoughts on Tevin Coleman? Should we buy now before he gets a lead job next year, or is he just a career committee back? So we know what the Falcons have done this offseason in the draft specifically. They brought in Ito Smith, and the thought there was they're just planning for 2019. Tevin Coleman's contract is up at the end of this upcoming season, and it's kind of doubtful that they're going to pay Tevin Coleman the contract that he wants on top of the big money deal that Devontae Freeman already has. So just on his own merit, how do you view Tevin Coleman? Do you look at him as a guy who can carry a backfield in the NFL?
I'm aggressively buying. He's one of my favorite guys to go after right now. And this doesn't seem to get talked about a lot, but the injury news on Devontae Freeman isn't super promising. You know, like, he's a really good back, but I wonder if he's getting to that stage where things are starting to ache, is not quite as explosive, you know, that maybe Coleman moves past him this year. We pretty much know, kind of like we were talking about with Bell, that Coleman is not going to be a Falcon a year from now. And it's funny because I was just on the radio a couple of days ago here in Pittsburgh, and we were talking about Bell, and I'm like, I wouldn't bring him back. And they're like, well, what would you do? I said, well, I'd go sign Tevin Coleman for a third of the price, you know, for Jerick McKinnon money, bring him to Pittsburgh. Or, you know, I think he'll get a McKinnon-like deal a year from now. But I also am not so sure that he won't be the bigger of the two in Atlanta this year either. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, so you mentioned the injury. The last report we had regarding Freeman was earlier this month, and he mentioned, or he was quoted as saying his knee is still not 100%. It is getting stronger, but just noted that he's still dealing with some issues there. So
not the biggest guy, super physical runner, takes a beating, getting up in age. Some red flags with Freeman.
I mean, I just imagine if we see a repeat of last year, right? If both Freeman and Tevin Coleman have very similar seasons to what they did this past year in 2017, and then if Coleman were to move on, if the Steelers were to sign him,
that's an optimal landing spot. But
right, right. Yeah. That's certainly best case, but he would be talked about among the top 10 running backs in Dynasty automatically.
Mm-hmm.
He would be
more so than McKinnon is right now.
Yeah. So you said you were aggressively buying. What does that look like for you? What's a starting offer?
I would rather have him than Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Royce Freeman, Kerryon Johnson, Cortland Sutton.
So anything after 1.9-ish you're giving for Freeman?
I would, yeah. If that offer came across right now, I say yes.
Yeah. So I made a similar deal in one of my leagues. I was on the clock at 111. Didn't have anybody I loved and was willing to move down. Traded that pick and got a couple of upgrades in the third and fourth round, minor upgrades, and got Tevin Coleman in return. So you're making me feel better about that deal.
Please rank for Dynasty. Ingram, Tevin Coleman, Aaron Jones.
Coleman is the easy one, I think. The other two are close for me. I would probably, you know, of course, we had the news that we discussed a couple weeks ago with the Ingram suspension. I would say Jones 2 and Ingram 3.
Yeah, Ingram's a distant third for me of those two, and I think the other two are close, but I'm also very smitten with Jones.
We know you are. We know you are.
Do you know who else I'm submitting with?
Yes, I do.
I bet you do.
You beat me
to
it. Our
friends at Harry's. Guys, I tell you about this every Dynasty Blueprint. You know that I've been with these guys for a very long time. I've been doing podcasts for a very long time. Harry sponsored one of our old ones at ESPN. And boom, I was hooked. And I use their product every day where I used to be an electric guy because other blades chewed up my face and I'd have bumps. And so I went to electric, but I didn't get as good of a shave. Now I get the best of both worlds with Harry's. So I'm very proud that they're part of our weekly conversation with you guys. They stand behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors is not an easy decision, although it should be for you. So they create a trial offer and claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/dynasty. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. It's only $2 a blade as compared to $4 or $5 a blade. They have a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days, and they'll give you a free refund. I mean, that's a heck of a deal right there. Here's the offer that's going on right now. You get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave for free, basically. You get a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel that my wife loves, and a travel blade cover. So, listeners to our show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/dynasty. Make sure you go to harrys.com/dynasty and redeem your offer and let them know that we sent you to help support the show. That's harrys.com/dynasty.
All right, Matt, our next question comes from Michael. Michael says, who is the receiver to own in Seattle other than Doug Baldwin? So we know the Seahawks they lost Jimmy Graham. They let him walk. They're starting tight end. They have made some moves, but mostly minor. They brought in Jerron Brown from Arizona. They brought in Ed Dixon, former tight end at Carolina, but neither one of those are necessarily major impact moves. So their wide receiver depth chart is currently Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, and then just some other names on the roster. Amara Darbo. Yeah. Right. Darbo is kind of the guy getting some attention. Tanner McAvoy, and Brown I mentioned, and the rest of these we're really digging deep. And
Brandon Marshall was in town last week on a visit.
Right. They have been at least rumored to be interested in both Marshall and Dez Bryant. It would certainly make sense if they were to bring in one of those guys, but just for another body. But looking at their current depth chart, they're missing a ton of targets. I mean, if you think about Jimmy Graham alone, he had, I think he had 26 red zone targets.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yes. 16 targets inside the 10 yard line. So, I'm sorry.
He was a touchdown machine.
Yeah. Line.
And everyone in the world knew they were throwing to him when they were near the stripe.
Right. Some of those numbers might be a little off. We'll check into that. But regardless, they're missing Graham. And they haven't really done much to upgrade that receiver spot or really any other position other than adding Rashard Penny. Which of these receivers do you want, or do you want any of them?
I mean, I do a power ranks for my Locked On NFL podcast, and I had Seattle at like 27 or 28. I think this is going to be a bad football team. I think there's going to be some lean years for Russell Wilson. I think they're trying to change how they play offense and take a little off his shoulders and put it on the running back Penny, although I'm not a huge Penny believer. I do think the offensive line coaches changes should be better, but it's not going to be mediocre probably. It'll still probably be below average. I love Doug Baldwin as a player, and a buddy of mine was actually in Vegas right now, and he sent me a big list of these are the props out there for, you know, receiving yards leaders, and Baldwin was way down the list. And I'm sitting there thinking maybe I'd put a buck on Baldwin because if they're losing a lot, he's a great player. He may get 12 targets a game, you know, because it's the only show in town. But then I also thought every team's going to try to take him away. You know, it's a chicken or egg situation. There's no one else that you fear. So in the end, I think I want no Seahawks. That being said, I've been a Lockett guy. You know, I mean, I think Harmon's a big Lockett guy, right? I forget.
Yes.
Yeah. And ever since, basically, I'm agreeing with Harmon. I think there's greatness there. I just don't know that his body's able to put up with it.
Yeah, I mean, Lockett is his shine has worn off, certainly. I mm-hmm. mean, he was a major dynasty target two off seasons ago, and honestly, just hasn't lived up to much of that hype. So maybe this is the year for him. He should certainly have some opportunity. Darbo is starting to get some attention in dynasty circles again, just because of this opportunity. I'm not sure how much I believe in him. I mean, if he's on the waiver wire, yeah, get him on my team, but I'm not necessarily targeting him or going out and buying him in any existing leagues.
Yeah. I basically agree with you because I don't think he's a great prospect at all. I made a trade about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I needed one more guy to make the numbers work. So I said, hey, throw Darbo in as opposed to somebody that I really didn't like. You know, so I'll take him basically on the cheap, or I'd give you a fourth round pick for him right now. And basically the only thing I like about him is he's the only big receiving threat they have. I mean, their tight ends are big and slow, and even the dude they drafted is a blocker. I mean, there's no tight end threat. I'm just thinking Darbo might be active near the goal line, but does that mean you start him for fantasy ever? Probably not.
Yeah, I just keep hearing Dez Bryant every time, everything you say. Yeah. So we'll see where he ends up. Next question from Murray. Have you ever adjusted a dynasty league starting lineup, i.e. transferring a one quarterback league to a super flex? And if so, any recommendations? So I have made some changes to starting lineups, but those have been, I guess you would say, minor in comparison. Basically, we added a flex spot, and that was something that we voted on as a league, and it passed with the majority voting in favor of that. Now, moving from one quarterback to a super flex is a much, much bigger change. We've actually talked about that on one of my other podcasts, Commission Impossible with Scott Fish. So you can get a really detailed explanation there. Scott has some great thoughts on this topic. But in short, if you're going to try to move from one quarterback to a super flex league, you need at least a full year's notice because that does change value so much of these players. And honestly, my recommendation usually is just start a new league. Just if you want a super flex league, just start fresh, and maybe it's even the same group of guys if you have a good league going. But it's such a difficult transition that I would just start an entire new league.
Yeah, you basically said what I was going to, and you know, this is much more up Ryan's alley with a commissioner background than mine. But basically, the two things that if you're set on doing it, I would suggest either make an announcement that in 2020, you're going to have a super flex league. You have to give them a lot of time. Or, hey, how about the 12 of us just have a startup and we'll keep both leagues?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next question from Don Mega. Oh, should I target Burton, Kittle, or McDonald in free agency in my dynasty league week one on waivers when it opens?
That's an easy one for me too.
He says rank 1 through 3. He has Shaheen and A. Miller. I don't even. I
who the heck's of, Miller?
Yeah. Who is Miller? A. Miller. I don't know. Whoever it is, it's probably not. Probably not a good thing if we can't
Keith think Miller. That's a tight end Miller I know of. It's off the top of my head.
Well, Zach Miller was the Bears, right? Maybe
doesn't he have a very broken leg too?
He does. He
I think you could cut Miller, whoever he is.
He has a broken career. all right. So Burton, Kittle, McDonald. I think Vance McDonald is definitely third in this group. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Okay. Now, although I'm a McDonald fan and I own him everywhere with a little bit of Steeler insight there.
All right. Hint, hint. I like Burton and Kittle a lot. I really, really like Burton. He would be my number one target. But if things didn't work out and you had to settle for Kittle, I would be okay with that as well.
Wow. I think Kittle's clearly number one. You know, like to me, I'm looking at my tight end ranks. Kittle's number 10. Burton's 15. McDonald's 23. So I think there's a pretty good gap between all three. Part of it's because I still like Shaheen. I think he's going to cut into Burton a little bit. I think Kittle's in a perfect situation. I've been buying him up this offseason. I think I've added him in two trades.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on Burton. Like I said, I like Kittle as well. I'm not as worried about Shaheen. I love the deal they gave Burton. I think that speaks volumes. You yourself have taught me that when NFL teams spend money, that's something we should pay attention to. Burton is like tight end seven for me. He's wow. Pretty far up there. Yeah. And he's been the guy I've been targeting.
Wow. I might have to think about him a little bit more too.
So yeah, in short, with those three guys on the waiver wire, you're in good shape, but Burton or Kittle should definitely be a priority. And honestly, I'd be happy to get both of those guys.
Yes, put in for both. Neither of those should be on waivers in any league.
Dump A. Miller and get both of those
guys. That's for sure, yeah.
All right, next question from the FF Canadians. With his value dipping post-Rams trade, would you be comfortable holding Brandon Cooks? If not, what's the lowest rookie pick you would move him for? What are your thoughts on Cooks? We haven't talked about him lately.
Well, I was a big fan of Sammy Watkins, and I said on the show many times I thought his tape was really good, but the numbers didn't translate. Not that he was a decoy, but he was kind of a decoy. You know, that because of Goff, and I do think this will expand as Goff's career expands, he had a lot of half-field reads with Sammy being on the other side of the field to draw coverage. And I do think Cooks is going to take the Watkins role, and clearly they value that guy in their offense a lot because when they couldn't bring Sammy back, they went and spent a lot of resources to go get Cooks. But I think his numbers dip, you know, like, I don't know that now's the time to sell him, but he dropped in my rankings behind guys like Thielen and Tyreek and Diggs. I might rather have Corey Davis. I might rather Baldwin. I think he's worrisome. But he still should have a great career. Like, don't give him away. He's still really young.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with most of what you said. He dropped a little for me as well. But at the same time, I'm always leery of selling low. You know, he's
young,
asking,
super talented, proven.
Right. He's asking here about what's the lowest rookie pick you would move him for. I mean, it would still take
a
top four pick for me, probably.
That's what I'm thinking here. Like,
I don't think you're getting that right now. So that just means hold.
Yeah. Like, I'd rather have him than DJ Moore or any wide receiver in this class.
Right.
For sure. I think I'd rather have him than Chubb or Ronald Jones or Penny.
Yeah, so you're talking 1-2 or 1-3.
Yeah, 1-3. Right. Yeah. And I'm not going to get it.
All right, so that means hold, and it might even mean buy. If you've got the 1-6 or 1-7 and you've got a chance to buy Cooks for that, that may be a move to make as well.
Yeah, kick the tires.
Dale says, would you sell Carlos Hyde and the 1.09 to move up into the top five of the rookie draft? He says he's desperate for a running back, and it's a half point per carry league. Are you?
That makes Jones and Penny more attractive to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think I would do that.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I just don't value Hyde all that much anyway. I really felt that way before the addition of Nick Chubb, but I certainly feel that way now. And with the point per carry. And half a point per carry is a huge bonus. Sometimes you'll see a quarter point or even a third point per carry, but a half point per carry is a big deal. And you're right. That's big for Penny. That's big for Jones. That's big for Royce Freeman. Those guys are going to see a bump. Darius Geis and obviously Barkley. Those probably should be your top five. And you get one of those players.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Ronald Jones, I think that really spikes just because there's nobody around him. Same with Penny. And, you know, those are my four and five guys. And he said he wanted to move up to number five. So you're pretty much assured to get one of those two. So, yeah, I think I'd do that. Give up Hyde, do it sure to get that guy. Sure.
I would as well. Another trade question involving a draft pick. This one comes from Chris. Would you trade AJ Green for the 1.03? So that's obviously not locked in as a specific player. If we've got Barkley going one, then 1.03 could be Geis, could be Chubb, could be Penny, could be Sony Michel if you're in Matt's league, could be maybe even a wide receiver in a few rare cases. I think I want AJ Green over all of those guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of good football ahead of – still involved with AJ Green. And I just pulled up his stats while you were talking there. I mean, people don't seem to give him the credit that he deserves. But this past year, 65 catches for over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. And he was injured some. The year before, 97 for 1,350 and 11 touchdowns. The year before, 96 for 1,426 and 11 touchdowns. 69 for a little over 1,000 and 6 touchdowns before that. 1,200 yards, almost 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns in 2015. He's a superstar. I mean, he's a number one receiver. If he's healthy, he puts up 1,400 yards and base close to double-digit touchdowns every year. No. The only pick I'd take for him is 1-1. I can't take 1-2 either.
Yeah, I agree. And even if you're rebuilding and you're looking to sell a guy like AJ Green, I think you're better off selling in season when contenders are reminded of that production and they see him putting up 20 fantasy points a game.
Yeah, and that's what he does.
Last question, Matt, comes from David. What's up with the Oakland and Cleveland backfields? Will any one player get enough touches to be an RB2? Let's start with Oakland. They had the trio last year, Marshawn Lynch, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard. All of those guys saw some playing time. I would say it's probably fair to say none of them really made a fantasy impact throughout the season. And then the one move they make this offseason is to bring in another veteran, Doug Martin, formerly of Tampa Bay. So now it's all four of those guys, Lynch, Martin, Washington, Richard. First of all, I think this tells dynasty owners we can probably move on from Washington and Richard. Both of those guys have been at the end of dynasty rosters in most of my leagues. And I think they can probably hit the waiver wire. Lynch and or Martin are going to see the bulk of the carries. Do you?
I agree, but what happens when it's 3rd and 8? They don't have a real receiving. I mean, I still think that might be Washington. Not that he's going to be fantasy relevant, but I think this is one of the backfields I want to be involved with the least is where I'm going to be end up going with this.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say that as well. Even on a contending team, if I've got a hole at running back, I don't think I'm looking at Lynch and Martin. First of all, I don't have a great feel for how that's going to shake out between the two. Even
Lynch was good last year, though, and Martin stinks.
I guess what I keep going back to is Gruden's come in and he's brought in these certain types of players, right? And most of them are veterans. You've seen some of the jokes and comments going around about that. But Martin is the guy he brought in. Lynch is not.
So, oh, no doubt. And they want to run the ball a lot. And everything's about heavier personnel, blocking tight ends, blocking fullbacks, drafting linemen high. I want nothing to do with it. But to me, Lynch is clearly the best runner of the football on the team. And I thought he looked good last year. I don't think Martin looked good. I do think they want to run the ball a lot. Could Lynch end up as a 1,200-yard back this year? I think that's feasible. And he also catches 30 passes or so. I might throw a third round pick at Lynch.
Well, they're both certainly very cheap in dynasty. So right. If you have a favorite there, I really don't. Matt likes Lynch. Then you can get them cheap enough. That's the good news. Cleveland is a completely different situation. Maybe the Raiders have zero running backs we want. The Browns have 3 running backs we want, and it's going to be a challenge to figure out what this might look like this year. Carlos Hyde, of course, we mentioned him earlier, signed from the 49ers in free agency. Duke Johnson has been there for, I guess, since the 2014 season, his 4th season there, I think. The pass catching back there, and he's even have you seen his Twitter activity lately, Matt?
No, I have not.
He doesn't seem happy with the Browns organization. He's taken down some pictures and references to the Browns. He's putting out these cryptic tweets about being patient and being disrespected and things like that. So maybe that's a hint of things to come, and maybe Duke Johnson is with another team by the time training camp rolls around. And then, of course, they drafted Nick Chubb. I'm happy to have any of these guys on my roster. I kind of mentioned my overall doubts or concerns about Hyde. He would not be a guy I would target. I love buying Duke Johnson low right now, especially if he does get a chance on another roster. And Chubb is a guy, the more I think about how the draft played out and what these prospects are looking like in their short-term and long-term future, he's a guy that's creeping up my ranks, probably my 1.03 now, actually.
Yeah, good points. And one thing I've been kind of saying about Duke all along is, yeah, the Browns look better, but they're not going to be blowing teams out. I still think there can be a lot of, not garbage time, but come from behind time, Duke Johnson time, third and longs, you know. But I also think the Njoku's and certainly Landry will cut into his targets too, that he won't be as much of a piece of the pie in the receiving game for the snaps he's on the field. And that's before you even mentioned that he might be leaving town or isn't happy, because I was about to say, it wouldn't shock me if a running back went down and they traded Hyde, you know, and paved the way for Chubb. And then all of a sudden Chubb looks really good. What if they kind of move on from the both of them over the next 2 years or so? Yeah, I think Chubb's stock is growing the more I think about him. My Chubb is growing.
Yes, yes.
That was too hard.
You're changing our rating on here. Yeah, Chubb is definitely the player I want out of this group. But again, I'm happy to buy low on Duke Johnson and see where he ends up. As far as his role, though, if he does remain with the team, they've got Corey Coleman, who was injured for a part of last year. You've got Josh Gordon, who was suspended for part of last year. You've added Jarvis Landry. You've got Njoku going into his second season. Fair to assume he'll play a larger role. You drafted Callaway. Maybe he's a project. Maybe he makes an impact. Who knows? And then, of course, you do add Chubb and Hyde, who both are adequate pass catchers. Certainly not in the Duke Johnson range, but they can catch the ball if they needed to. I could just see there's not going to be as many targets to go around for Duke Johnson or really any of these guys. We're going to see the ball spread out more than it was in the past couple of years.
And Landry's not going to get a bazillion targets like he did in Miami, probably. Right. Real quick note there. I would be happy if owned Hyde, Duke, or Coleman, I think you want them to get traded. You know, that'd be, no matter where they land, you'll take your chances. It's better where they're at now. And then my question to you is Chubb, Jordan Howard, Jay Ajayi, Derrick Henry, please rank.
Chubb one for sure.
Okay. He's one for me too, but Howard scares me. I just traded Howard.
Chubb, Howard, Ajayi, and who else?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I would say Chubb, Howard, Henry, Ajayi.
That's my list too, but I'm down on Howard. I just got rid of him. Trade him straight for T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I like that.
I was very happy with that, yeah.
All right, cool. Matt, that will do it for today. Thanks to all our listeners for sending some questions in. We've got a few more, so we might have to jump back on here later this week and answer some more questions. As always, we appreciate the questions, appreciate the support, appreciate you listening. We'll be back next time with more Dynasty Blueprint.